Hi, my name is Lynn Worrell. I'm the founder of a community organization called Word, Writing Our Rhymes Down, and I am a youth worker at the CAFL Jeunesse Emploi of NDG.
Hi, my name is Carl Thomas. I'm a community worker for Prevention Côte-des-Neiges NDG, and welcome to The DEP.
The DEP, a podcast about community service work in your neighborhood.
Katie.
Hello.
Welcome to The DEP.
Thank you.
Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for saying yes to this. Lynn, you're missing out. Have you met Lynn, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I met her a few times because I work at the CJE.
Yeah, sometimes. Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. So you met the whole staff over there?
Pretty much, yeah.
Are they nice?
Yeah, they're great.
Okay. Hello, Anne, by the way. Okay, so again, thank you for showing up. So welcome to The DEP. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about what you do in the community. We're going to, you know, try to talk a little bit about personal growth, if you'll let us.
Mm-hmm.
And basically talk about the fun part and maybe the challenges of the work, maybe in the future. So let's go. So, Katie, any last name?
Palette Wiesel.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you do in the community currently? What are you doing in the community?
So I'm working as the youth mental health resource coordinator at the youth table.
Okay.
So I'm working on a project to like promote mental health in NDG. And the way that I'm trying to do that is by first helping people like learn about resources that are available around them. So through like my website, which is Bien-être NDG. So on there, I kind of looked for all the mental health resources and NDG and online that were relevant, so that like youth can easily access them. And then another part of that is just like opening up more conversations about mental health, putting information on social media, like writing blog articles and just trying to spread the word a little bit.
Okay, that sounds truly amazing. So what made you go into this? Is it like a background? Is it, you have the love and the heart in the community? Like why this type of position and why going, why go into this field of work specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in NDG myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always lived in NDG and I've really like appreciated the sense of community that we have here. And like, it really feels like, you know, a more close-knit community than some other parts of
That's
Montreal,
true. Yeah,
I would
definitely.
Say. So I was really excited to, like, have a job in NDG where I can kind of, like, work with the community that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then this position in particular, like, I've always been really interested in mental health since I was, like, a teenager. And that's what pushed me to study psychology, like, in university,
mm-hmm.
which is what I'm currently doing. Just from, like, you know, having friends and family around me that like maybe struggle with mental health and just seeing how like prevalent it is in like daily life and wanting to know more about it and like do my part to spread awareness.
Okay. Katie, I have so many questions for you. I don't even know where to begin. Okay. How about this? Large scale question. Do you still think in today's age, 2024, the subject of mental health is still considered taboo?
I think like mental health itself, we're talking about it a lot more,
mm-hmm.
which is good. But I think that in some cases it still is taboo because like, yes, we talk about mental health a lot, but you know, people still feel uncomfortable talking about like their own mental health and people still
Fair
feel
enough.
Like hesitant to like get help when they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like we've started the process of like destigmatizing it, but I think there's like a lot left to uncover kind of.
Okay. What do you feel often holds people back? Because that is very true. The subject might be floating around. Conversation might be held on it, but what do you think holds people back to pronounce or share about their personal mental health?
Well, I think people are afraid to like come across as like weak or to admit to others or to themselves like that they're struggling. And I think there's certain like mental health like issues that we talk about more, and there's others that we talk about less. So maybe if someone's struggling with something that's more like less known, or that there's more misconceptions about, like they're going to be more worried to come forward because like they know that people are going to have like these wrong ideas about what they're going through. So, yeah.
That is very true. Okay. So the concept of weakness. So currently, what are your tasks? What are you working on? Because you mentioned the website, gathering information, gathering, like what, not a challenge, because we'll get to the challenge first, but I mean after, but what have you seen? Is there a lot of services in NDG for mental health, or is it NDG specifically or NDG Kodinesh?
Well, the first thing I did, like, in this position was I met with people, like, working in the community to talk with them about... the mental health struggles that they noticed in the youth that they work with. Because, like, the project is aimed at youth. And I think that a lot of people... There are resources in NDG, but, you know, there's still some that are having, like, longer wait times or maybe that are expensive. So, like, on the website, I've looked for... stuff in Montreal in general.
Okay.
And
okay.
Also
at large. Okay.
Yeah, at large. Also things that are online. Mm-hmm. Like I've prioritized like there's a section on the website for resources in NDG and Côte des Neiges like nearby, but then there's also maybe some things in different areas of Montreal if it's like a particular service that we don't have here.
Okay.
Like, you know, for example, like a resource for like Indigenous communities that we don't have in Montreal specifically, for example, but that's in another part of Montreal, like that kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, like I think that we do have a lot of great resources. Like I did find a lot of things that I had never heard of and that like it's good to know that they're out there. But for sure, we're still, you know, missing some things.
Okay. This might be a personal question, but why, like I often give a big chapeau to the people that go and study psychology, because it's something. It's not an easy task. I've known within my surroundings people that did study in it, and they often tell me like it's not easy. So why did you pick that specific topic to study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I was in Cégep, I was studying like business. And I really didn't like it.
Okay, that's a total different... Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't...
So you didn't like business.
I mean, I liked it. Like, I like math, but I didn't find it really... Like, it was kind of dry. Like, I didn't find it really interesting.
Okay.
And I think what really made me want to do psychology was, like, going to therapy myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, being really interested in it and wanting to, like, learn more about just, like, how the human mind works.
Yeah,
and how people work.
Like the process of it all.
Yeah. And I feel like you learn a lot about yourself from studying psychology.
Oh, no. Do you do the thing that you start analyzing yourself based on the information that you're getting?
Definitely, yeah. But okay. I think it's positive because you can understand more like yourself and the people around you.
Fair enough. That's true. Have you... So you had a chance to meet a lot of people in NDG. You're currently based at the CJE. Let's talk about who are your colleagues. Who are the people that you've encountered in NDG? Doesn't have to be specifically CJE, but like who have you met that you think could be either a good resource or that simply was like, you know, very nice to you when you got there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I work most closely with like Anne, like the coordinator of the table, and I work a lot with like the rest of the coordination team of the table. So like Joe from Prévention NDG.
Yeah, shout out to Joe.
Yeah, and the other members of the coordination team. And then I've done a few visits to like the Teen Zone and
Gallia,
the Y. Zone.
Okay, yeah. Amazing.
So with Gallia at the Y and like people from like the community centers and NDG as well. So like there's not everybody that I work with is somebody that offers like a mental health resource. Like some of them, you know, they focus on like sports and stuff like that. like those are the activities that they offer, but there are like a few people that I work with that are on the website themselves. Okay. So for example, like at the Teen Zone, there's like Aisha, who's a youth worker.
Yeah.
And she has like her DMs open on Instagram so that people, like youth, can like text her if they need to talk about stuff.
Okay.
So like that's a really great resource. There's also Bienvenue at NDG. They have like a Wellness Fridays activity. So they have like different workshops related to wellness. But yeah, like there's so many like great resources in NDG. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break because for some reason my laptop just went into sleep mode, okay. But it was still recording. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Feeling stuck about your professional life, not sure if this is the right job for you, looking for a job, why don't you come by the CalFOL Jeunesse Emploi of Notre-Dame-de-Grâce. We're part of a larger network for people between the ages of 15 and 35. However, the CalFOL in NDG is the only one on the island of Montreal that offers services for 35 and older. Or check us out at cje-ndg.com. That's cje-ndg.com. Call us at 514-482-6665. If you press 0, you'll get our front desk. And our address is 6370 Sherbrooke West, right near Benny and Sherbrooke. Hope you are well. Hope we can offer you some ideas on how to get unstuck. Take care.
Okay, so we're back. So again, so many questions related to psychology and so many questions related to your work. Where do you want to go?
We could talk about psychology a bit and then get back into my work.
Okay.
Yeah.
The subject of psychology, we briefed a little conversation that we had about self-analyzing yourself. Do you think it's important for people to learn about not psychology itself, but the topic of mental health, even though they think it's not affecting them? I know it's a like large question of, but what do you think? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I think definitely everybody should know a bit about mental health because even if it's not affecting you personally, like in this moment, like first it could affect you kind of at any point because like mental health kind of changes throughout your life, so maybe like for now you've never really had to think about that, but like that could change. And also like 1 in 2 people will experience like some kind of mental health like challenge in their life, so if it's not you, like it's somebody around you. So I think it's really helpful to know a little bit about it so that like if somebody around you wants to talk about how they're feeling, like you can support them, or so that like if at some point you encounter a challenge, like you know a little bit about like what to do.
Okay.
So I think everybody, like it's really relevant for everybody to think about.
So when we talk about that, let's say for a youth that knows that one of their friends is going through a hard time, what approach can they use, or what type of suggestion may you have, you could have for you know, a young 15-year-old that's noticing that their friend is starting to act different, is being more isolated? Like, how would you approach or advise such you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, in that case, it's important to not, like, distance yourself from them just because you might not understand what's going on. Like, I think,
which often happens, right? Especially as a teenager, and my friend's acting weird, well, that's his problem, or they'll try a little bit and then be, well, too bad. Okay.
Yeah, like, it's okay if you don't know exactly what's going on in their head, or, like, if you don't know exactly what to do either, that's fine, but I think, like, just letting your friend know that, like, you're still there for them, and maybe asking them, like, if they want to talk with you about what's going on. And if ever that person does open up and say that they're, like, struggling, you can, like, maybe help them try to find a resource that they're comfortable using.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys want to look together and see what's available. I feel like it could help that person feel less alone to have, like, a friend that's, like, willing to listen to them and know how they're feeling and maybe, like, help them in the process to getting help.
Okay. That's amazing. So basically, like, taking the person by the hand and not just advising them, but really going through the process of finding the necessary help together.
Yeah, like if they want to. Like, I guess sometimes it depends what the person
needs. That's true.
Needs.
What if the person doesn't want to?
Like, maybe they're not ready to talk to anybody yet, but they're still going to be, like, it's still going to feel good for them to know that they have, like, you as a friend, like, in their life still, you know?
Okay.
So, like, I think it's normal for somebody to not be ready to, like, get help right away or, you know, you can't force somebody to do something either, I think. But, yeah, I think it's still helpful to, like, not distance yourself just because you don't understand, like, what they're going through.
Yeah. When you speak about being ready, we often hear, and that's a common phrase that I hear in the community, sometimes in my surroundings, oh, you got to let the person hit rock bottom before they're ready. Is that a true statement? Or, like, for me, the question would be, like, how do you define being ready? And when do you know you're ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know exactly, like, when.
Well, let's say, when are you, like, based on experience, based on, you know, the clientele that you have encountered, the stories that you have heard, how do you define ready? Like, is it really hitting rock bottom, or is it?
I think maybe sometimes people, like, that have kind of, like, let's say somebody's feeling, like, depressed, like, on and off, maybe when they're feeling their worst, it's going to be really hard for them to, like, go talk to somebody.
Person,
like, when they're feeling a bit better, but they know, like, how it can get, maybe that's the time when they're going to be ready to go talk to someone, because, like, they have the energy, they're feeling a bit better, but they know that it's, like, a serious problem. Whereas for somebody else, maybe, like, if they're feeling really, like, stressed and overwhelmed, like, that's when they're gonna know, like, okay, I really need to talk to somebody, it's, like, getting out of hand.
Yeah.
So I think it really depends for everybody, and some people, like, it doesn't need to be, like, a extreme situation to get help either. Like, you can just kind of, like, you can go to therapy for, like, any number of reasons, or you can, like, you know, reach out for any number of reasons. But yeah, I think it is, like, pretty personal to the person of when they feel like it's something that would benefit them, and when they feel like they're ready to, like, talk about how they feel. Because if someone's not ready to, like, open up,
yeah,
there's no point, like, pushing them, I guess.
That's true. I've never thought about the concept of, like, what it would be best to approach the subject when, or the person would often approach the subject of seeking help when they feel a little better, but understand that feeling better doesn't mean that the problem went away, right?
Yeah.
So the concept of, like, wait until they hit rock bottom might not be true at all times. For some people, like you said, it might be, but for oftentimes it's when you realize, oh, I might have an issue and I don't want to go back, let's say, to that depressive state of mind when it comes to youth, I, and that's my personal opinion, I often relate, I'm acting like I'm the only person that has that opinion. But anyway, isolation. Isolation, and especially during the whole COVID era that we went through, is prominent. It's something that's very, very, like, it's there now.
Yeah.
What have you seen in your encounters, or again, stories that you've heard and experienced? What is happening with this whole concept of isolation? And then when you add the whole concept of social media, because you also work on a platform that is online, by giving access, and also social media.
Yeah.
So, like, Let's talk about that, or let's get your opinion on that a little bit.
Yeah, like, from what I've heard from, you know, people in the community working with youth, is that I think COVID really, and what I've seen firsthand too, is like, since COVID, I feel like teens are spending, like, way more time online.
Yeah.
And it's true that, like, some of them are feeling more isolated. And even since, like, you know, the restrictions have been lifted and COVID's, you know, kind of ending, there's still, I feel like there's still less teens coming out to these activities. And, like,
okay.
I think there's less, like, it's harder to get back into, like, the swing of things. And it's harder for them to, like, kind of break out of their routine a bit. So I think that, like, a lot of them might be feeling isolated and they might be spending a lot more time online, which is kind of leading to maybe them feeling more like stressed about social situations.
Yeah.
Like they're less used to, like they're so used to like interacting online almost, you know? So like maybe some situations that would have been normal before, like, I don't know, a presentation in class would be like even more stressful for them now.
That's because so they're not true, used to right? it. Like, the lack of practice, too, during that whole time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I think so. So, yeah, it's kind of like a double-edged sword because I do want to, like, I want to use social media to reach, like, youth because that's where they are. And I want to, like, provide information on there. But I don't want to encourage them to spend
more time online. Too much time online,
So that's why it's, like, I want to do, I'm going to focus more on, like, workshops and in-person activities now that the website is done. But, yeah, I think, like, we don't want to shame people for using social media either. Because we don't want to make them feel, you know, bad about it and make it, like, yeah, there's no reason to make people feel bad about what they're doing. But at the same time, it's true that there are some, like, negative consequences to it.
And we're quick to judge, especially as, like, adults. Okay. We're going to take one last break and then we're going to go into, you know, a little bit of who you are and growing up in NDG.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're back. And before going into the personal questions, let's talk about your job. Let's talk about the specific aspect about your jobs. So the floor is yours.
Okay. Yeah. So as I was saying, like the first part was really building like that website and having like making a tool for people to find.
So when you say just because you mentioned that, so building a website, what do you mean you built a website?
I mean, I just found like all a huge list of resources like in NDG online, and then I like I made a website, but I used like Wix, so I didn't do the coding myself. I don't know how to code.
Yeah, but it's still it's still crazy for the fact that you still had to like create the whole interface of your website, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What was somebody helping you out during the process, or was it really like you saying this should go here, this should go here?
Well, I was kind of like coming up with ideas, and like I made a prototype basically, and then I checked in with like Anne and the other members of the coordination. And I was like, does this look good? Like, we also decided some things together, like about like how much information there would be about each resource and stuff like that. So I got their input on some of those decisions, also for like the name of the website.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was me like watching YouTube videos about how to make a website.
That's and that's the thing when you work in the community, right? Sometimes you have to find your own resources within yourself, like
I don't know, that's amazing.
I was amazed. keep going.
Thank
keep
you going. Yeah, so then now the website is up and now I'm working on like doing more workshops like in person with teens, like so I had these meetings, as I mentioned, like with the different people in the community back in the fall, and they kind of gave me ideas about like the most pressing issues related to mental health and maybe the topics that like
they can youth... you share some of them?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the biggest themes that came out were like a lot more anxiety, like among the teens, so maybe like some social anxiety kind of related to like the pandemic and maybe social media, isolation like you said. Like depression is a big issue too. I think a lot of like academic stress too, and issues with like self-esteem and confidence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the main things that I kind of want to like work on.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You said main things, but that's a whole long list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. Also, I think one thing that I like saw was that we usually associate mental health with like adults and maybe teenagers, but it's like it affects kids too. Like kids can struggle too. Like maybe it's going to look different with younger kids. Like they're not going to have the same way of like expressing it, but like, you know, younger kids can struggle with their emotions and they can act out and stuff like that. So yeah, that's another thing that I learned about. But yeah, so I'm working on like developing some workshops related to those topics.
Mm-hmm.
And also for younger kids, I'm working with Aya, who's the intervenant en persévérance scolaire.
Okay.
And we're making like workshops for younger kids related to like handling your emotions and expressing your emotions. So like that's an exciting part of the project as well.
Yeah, she has a big smile on her face. Like you could see she's enjoying her job, her career. That's that's truly amazing. Anything else that you want to talk about within your work?
Maybe I'm forgetting some other things that I'm
Well, have you encountered clients that's like, without saying names, but like clients that you know specifically gave you an idea, or maybe you wanted to explore a different way of intervening, or I don't know, same way of intervention?
Well, I think also one thing that I found was like, I think it's the most useful to just equip like the people that are already working with youth with these tools.
Wow. Okay.
Instead of like me coming in, like I do want to come in and like meet the youth, but I think it's like they already have relationships with these people.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like it's more useful for me to like maybe like talk with them about the different resources so that, you know, when something comes up, like they have more ideas of what to do. And I think that's more effective.
So it's equipping, like it's giving the tools to the staff that's already there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because they have the link already with the youth.
Like I'm not gonna come in.
Yeah, of course.
And be like,
that makes a
I
lot
just
of
met
sense.
This kid.
Yeah.
Like, tell me your deepest
tell
feelings.
Tell me your whole life story. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to touch upon?
Oh yeah, I'm also working on like writing some blog articles that are going to be available.
Okay. So the blog, obviously, it will be on the website, but.
Yeah.
What made you think about the concept of the blog, or was it always like an idea when you created the website?
Well, I think like as we were making the website, there was some information that like I kind of wanted to put on there, but I didn't want to like overcrowd it. I wanted it to be like really simple and easy to use.
Okay.
So there was some things that I was like extra information I wanted to talk about. For example, like, you know, how to know that it's time to ask for help, or how to help a friend that's struggling, or like the kind of people that you can ask for help.
Yeah.
And then I thought like a blog would be a good way to like write more about these things and like put that information out there.
That is a really great idea. Katie, we have about 5 minutes and I want your perspective on growing up in NDG.
Mm-hmm.
You said versus other neighborhoods, it has that community sense. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's nice because, like, there's people that I went to, like, elementary school with that, like, I still keep in touch with, or even, like, their parents.
That's amazing.
Like,
yeah,
I'll see their
yeah.
parents and I still say hi to them, or, like,
that's so cool.
People that I, you know, I go to the gym and I've seen the same, like, staff for years.
Yeah.
And I've had, like, if I have a friend with me, like, in NDG that's from another neighborhood and they see me, like, saying hi to everyone, they're like, why do you know
why do you know so
people?
Many people? Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like it's just, you know, people, like, keep in touch and people support each other, too. Like, when I was thinking about what I wanted to study in school or, like, what kind of career I wanted to do, like, I could look around at the people, like, in the community and, like, they'd all be willing to, like, talk with me and give their perspective. So I just felt like there was a really a sense of community.
That's really cool. We know we have Concordia in NDG.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you pick McGill?
I don't know. I mean, I just always...
Concordia's in NDG.
I was okay to leave NDG for my university.
Okay.
And
branch out a bit?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Venture downtown.
Okay, fair enough. I was just teasing. McGill's great.
Yeah.
And so overall, the project is Bien-être?
The website is Bien-être NDG. Mm-hmm. Bien-être, I guess that's NDG. Kind of the name of the, some of the things related to it. But I guess the project is just kind of, like, it's under the Tab Jeunesse, you know? Like, the stuff that I'm posting on Instagram, it's on the Tab Jeunesse page.
So let's do the plugs then. So we have a website, mm-hmm. Bien-être NDG.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram.
Yeah, Tab Jeunesse NDG.
Tab Jeunesse NDG.
Yeah.
What else do we have?
We have a Facebook that's also Tab Jeunesse NDG.
Okay.
And yeah, everything else you can find on the website. Like the blog is going to be on the website.
All right, perfect. Again, Katie, thank you so much for your time. It was a delight talking to you.
Thank you.
Is there any last words that you would like to say for our listeners, the people tuning in?
I think this project is like a really great start into like promoting mental health in the neighborhood. But for sure, like there's a lot of work to be done, like in different ways to make mental health like less stigmatized and more like a more positive thing. So I'm like excited to see the direction it's going in, and yeah, I'm happy to like have the opportunity to work on this project.
Katie, great job by you. Thank you so much.